This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 422. I'm Lisa Sheps, and I'm joined as always with my co-host, Nick Squared. That's Nicole Shiro and Nick Mayo. You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air. Stay with us.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah. What's inside is just a lie. What's inside is just a lie. What's inside is just a lie.
It is Wednesday, July 19th, 2017. It's Wacky Techno Day today. On the show, we also have Summer Stock Austin talking about their shows, Spamalot, Annie Get Your Gun, and A Shoe Story. We'll also be joined later on by Vortex Rep Summer Youth Theater and It Can't Happen Here by Sinclair Lewis. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, London, and points east.
So the only way to become your true self.
Okay, so I just totally screwed up all the beginnings to our little show here. And I hope that's not a harbinger of things to come.
It's not.
You're just living on the edge, Lisa.
I am hoping not. So I'm doing a shout out to Nick Squared. Hi, you guys.
Hello.
You know, the band is together once again. And so the next time that our theme song doesn't play, I need you guys to sing it.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin.
That's what we're talking about. And then, of course, you would segue into...
Raise your troubles.
Forget your troubles. Forget your troubles.
Raise your troubles and raise your... Yep.
There we go.
That one.
So let's introduce the folks that are here with
us.
I like
the line, though. This is the moment. It'll never happen again.
I do, too. I do as well. So here are the folks here in no particular order. I'll try to do it in order, but I really suck at orders. Steve Fay. Hi, Steve.
Hello.
Hello. We have Joylynn Green.
Hello.
Hello. We have Matt Patterson.
Hello.
We have Tyler Larson.
How are you?
Okay. And that's Megan Hudson.
Hi.
Oh, I was close. And then Tyler already did you. Who are you?
Lila Garagna.
Lila Garagna. Of course, the one that I knew I wouldn't be able to. And sitting in the back there is Ellen Greedchair. I wrote Greedchair. I'm sure that's not right. What is it?
Greedum.
Greedum. Yeah, Greedchair. We're going to change it. And Holden Fox. Scream hello. Okay, and as we do, as we show how the sausage is being made here, Tyler, I need you to test that mic.
Oh, sure.
It works.
All right.
Perfect.
Excellent.
So does anybody recognize that little piece of music I played going in?
I didn't at first, but then I looked at the paper.
Yeah, so it's...
Cheat. It's, big well, cheater.
That's
right
what
there.
I did too, actually, so...
It scared me at first.
So I know, it's sort of scary. So who here has heard of the show Passing Strange?
Oh, yeah.
Can't say I have.
I missed it, not on my radar. It came out, it was on Broadway the same time In the Heights was on Broadway. And In the Heights beat them out for everything, but it evidently got very good reviews.
I think they did it here in Austin last year, actually.
I was about to say, I think it was done. Yeah, I think
Or maybe 2 years
who
ago.
Who did it?
I can't remember the company, but they were at the old Hancock Mall, or Old Highland Mall.
Oh, that would
sorry.
Be Austin Playhouse.
Austin Playhouse.
Yeah. Or someone associated with them, yeah.
They typically don't rent their space out, so it's more than likely Austin Playhouse.
Cool.
So I will give it to them. And I had something here about Passing Strange so that I would sound like the least bit intelligent talking about it, but I can't find it. Because it's this one here with the big picture on it. And this came out, I discovered it in Michael Riedel's column, and there is a revival that's happening of this show.
Where?
It's going to open in January in Philadelphia at the Wilma Theater and then move on to Broadway.
Nice.
Yeah. So it is a story of, where did it say, the story of, it's basically about a band, where is it? And it's, by the way, songwriters Stu and Heidi Rodeweld. Nope. Yeah, I call them Aunt and Uncle Stu and Heidi. Aunt Stu and Uncle Heidi. They're really, really good. yeah. So where does it say what the show is about? You know, I cannot even remember things when I read them. But some critics called it a rock musical, which in 2008 may have turned some traditional theater goers off. We don't like. And then there were complaints that it was too loud.
I remember everyone getting angry about it being loud, but I like that.
Yeah.
But how did it in the Heights when everything goes rap?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Good point.
I'm on your side.
If it's too loud, you're too old.
Anyway, so it's coming back. There you go. Woo-hoo. That's that. But we did have a couple of openings and closings all at the same time. So I will just say this, closings. We're gonna try to keep our discussions this time pretty short because we've got a lot of guests that we want to get to. So so we're going to zip through a lot of some of these things. But Assassins at the Off Center.
Oh.
Somebody's excited about Assassins. Have you seen it before?
No, but I did Sondheim on Sondheim at my old high school, and we performed a song from Assassins, and I loved it.
Okay, so who is this Sondheim person you're talking about?
Stephen Sondheim, the god of theater.
The god of theater. And you know what? I think he knows that people think that of him.
There's a song in Sondheim on Sondheim that opens Act 2 called God, and it's talking about how Stephen Sondheim is God. He wrote it.
So it has already opened and closed at Encore's Off Center. And the review that I read that by Jesse Green was sort of, it was okay, but it wasn't great. But he loved the Victoria Clark and Aaron Markey, who played Squeaky Fromm and Sarah Jane Moore. And he called them a hilarious, sociopathic Lucy and Ethel pair.
And I could see that.
For those who... Can somebody describe the show Assassins to people that may not know it? Anybody?
From what I know about it, it's a musical take on assassins throughout history.
Specifically,
people have killed presidents.
Tried to kill the president.
Through their point of
correct,
view.
Correct. Right.
So it's kind of interesting and uncomfortable at times. But it's really hilarious at times, which makes it even more uncomfortable at times. And it's assassins that not only got away with it or are possibly still in jail. And it's not, I don't know. It's a great musical. It's just not everyone's cup of tea.
Great musical. And one of the things I found interesting and it sort of disappoints me about the atmosphere in the country right now. Everybody's trying to make a Trump analogy with this. And it didn't go there this time. So that's good. The only thing that sort of got the audience riled a little bit was when they started talking about, and I cannot never pronounce the assassin's name, that's the one that shot so-and-so, and it sounds like he shot that guy, and it's
the greatest president was President so-and-so.
I don't know. Leon...
Chogosh,
thank you. My God. I was like...
Steve is Mr. History.
Okay. Chogosh spelled nothing like that. C-Z-O-L-G-O-S-Z.
B-D.
L-M-N-O-P. Anyway, so there's a song about that deals with guns and talking about guns and the control of guns and things like that, and that got things going. The cast, incredible cast, including Stephen Boyer, Alex Brightman, Victoria Clark, we already talked about, Shuler Hensley, who Nicole loves, Stephen Pasquale, amongst others. Anyway, so the bottom line is, Jesse says, for now, this Assassins lacks the emotional heft that a great production requires.
I don't like when they review the Encore shows. Mm-mm. It kind of bugs me.
Tell me. Say more about that.
I just think that they're done out of such love and celebration and with very little to no rehearsal and out of the generosity of the actors and the creator spirits that I don't think critics should go there.
And yet, that's how we find out. Those of us in the hinterlands find out about these.
Well, I think there are ways for you to find out about it without theatrical criticism. I think that they should go and talk about it being done and why is it being done. Because I've been a part of those rushed rehearsal processes, and it's no different than. It's a celebration, and they're not a commercial run. Usually.
I think that may be true for Off Center encores, but the regular encores, those productions have gotten step, you know, they just keep stepping up and adding more and more production value and more rehearsal time.
Yep. I think if scripts are in hands, reviews should not be made.
Mm-hmm. Okay, by a show of hands.
I concur on that one.
By a show of hands, who agrees with that? Oh God! Almost everybody but me. Hand. Well, no, Matt.
Half
Matt
and
is.
Half.
I said almost.
Yeah,
almost.
I'm actually with Matt. I don't feel strongly enough one way or the other, but I like reading reviews, and I think if they weren't reviewed, there would be nothing there.
Maybe there could be a review with some sort of disclaimer about like this.
Production. Or the, yeah, that takes the pieces of the production into account.
Totally,
you know.
Yep.
Just write it as being a fly on the wall, not as a true theater review. There's a way to cover the story without fully just reviewing it, and still voice your opinion.
Sure, I agree.
As you would put into a review.
Can you call the New York Times,
I'm
Nick,
on
and see
it,
what you can do?
And yep. Mayo's on it. Nick Squared.
Okay.
Take care.
Nick
of it.
Squared, go. So the other thing that opened at the Public was this production of Hamlet.
Oh, I just read about that. It's
seems pretty incredible.
Oh, it seems amazing.
Starring,
I wish I were still in the city.
Oscar Isaac. Yeah, I know. This is one of the things that really frustrates me about doing the show is that I don't get to see most of these. And the off-center things or the encore things really frustrates me because we usually talk about them after the fact. And
if you gave me time to like get the Learjet set, we just go.
There you go.
But like, I need a little.
So Hamlet opened, and this just looks like a pretty incredible production. One of the things that sort of tells me the overall feeling of this or where the thing is going, early on in the review, Ben Brantley said, "And the show's intimidating 4 hours passes quickly as a night at the bar with some best storytellers you've ever met." That, I think, speaks volumes.
Mm.
Because, you know, these four-hour shows that aren't, that they can be killer.
Painful.
Killer.
But this does not seem like it is.
The other thing, the woman that played Ophelia, her name is Gail Rankine. He called her a breakout performance.
Which is strange to me. I caught that as very strange. This is, I think, Gail's third Broadway show. She played a lead in Cabaret. And I always find it so strange when critics decide to say breakout. She's been breaking out for a while.
Maybe he's trying to take credit for, you know what I mean?
Breakout,
I think the context of breakout is not breakout in the world of theater, but breakout in the context of this show, that she stands out in this show. It's possible that he feels that she hadn't stood out in other shows.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know. That's critics.
What do I know?
What do I know? Keegan-Michael Key is in this. He plays Horatio. Which you have to roll your R's. Horatio. Okay. There you go. Which, as we know, is Hamlet's BFF, right?
Yeah.
That's the way Shakespeare called it.
Exactly the way he called it.
Yep.
Yes, he coined the term.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
It's directed by Sam Gold, who is
a genius.
Yep, is a quite wonderful storyteller.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I'm going to read this entire paragraph because it's fun. Some interpolations give pause. Do we really need to see Polonius sitting on the toilet? Or Ophelia binging and purging with a big dish of baked pasta? Or syringes substitute for the usual swords and daggers? I totally bought Hamlet's running around in underpants for his anti-disposition scenes. And by the way, this production completely grasps the comedy as well as the tragedy of Hamlet. So I
think that's what theatrical criticism, like if around Sam's work, period, that's a constant question. Whether it was his production of Glass Menagerie, where there were similar questions, I need to see this?
Yep.
It's Sam's style of storytelling, and I think it's I think it's a great written paragraph, what you just read.
I do, I agree.
But he's got such a point of view.
Yep, and oftentimes there's something there was a review of another show I was going to talk about that took a wild, interesting view on a production that didn't go as nicely. It's like it was every choice they made was bad. Oh God, what was it?
It was the Death of a Salesman.
No,
it wasn't.
Oh yes, it was Death of a Salesman.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, where he's talking to household appliances.
Right, he's talking to a refrigerator.
No, this is the absolute truth.
It's
at BAM, but I can't remember the
BAM.
Producing
You're
company.
Absolutely right. I think I have it here. Anyway, we're running out of time, but I did want to, while we were talking about the Bard, who we all know is.
No, there's only two Willies in the
world.
Yeah,
you have to speak into the microphone if you're going to speak. What did you say?
It's hard to be the Bard.
I don't understand that reference. Okay.
you don't know something rotten?
Who? Yes.
She's being a smarty pants.
Who here has seen the series Will? Anybody?
You well, yeah.
No. Okay.
So I did watch some of it. I didn't end up getting through it because something came up. But yes, TNT.
Will is a new series that sort of follows young William Shakespeare.
Punk rock William Shakespeare.
With a punk rock scene. I love they do a chase scene to Lust for Life, which is sort of fun. But it's a young Shakespeare, young Christopher Marlowe. It has a lot of political overtones, really, not undertones, around Catholicism and Protestants. It can be rather violent and difficult to watch, but it's very interesting. I saw the first two. I liked them a lot. And I just saw the third, which I liked a little less, but it's got a lot of,
When you and I were talking, you said you hadn't watched it yet. And then I was like, oh, and I'm like, well, let me see. And I watched 15 minutes. I'm like, oh yeah, I really have to pay attention to this. I do like this. So I'm excited to watch them all.
It's actually pretty good. And it's fun to see, you know, it's very similar to watching Shakespeare in Love when you watch him come up with some of the ideas for, like he wrote his love interest, who was not his wife, helps him learn to steal ideas, and they went and bought a book, which is how Two Gentlemen of Verona came. I actually thought it was going to be Romeo and Juliet, because Romeo and Juliet was stolen from La Celestina. But it's just really fun to watch. And Colm Meaney is probably, there may be other stars that I don't know, but Colm Meaney, who was on Star Trek The Next Generation, and the Western that I just loved, Hell on Wheels, he plays Burbage. And it's got all the names that you've heard. It's got Marlowe, not Richard Burbage, but Richard Burbage's father, who I can't remember his name.
Bobby anyway. Burgess.
Larry Burgess, I think. So that's it. The last thing I want to say before we go is this is just something, it's very exciting. Broadway HD, which you know, films, Broadway shows is...
Movies!
God, I wish I had some crazy sound effect.
I miss calling movie phone.
I can do sort of live sound effects if you want.
Okay, good. Yeah. We do need that.
Movies, the films.
So anyway, great performances are going to air She Loves Me on October 20th.
With Laura Bonanti?
Yep.
Yes.
Bonanti. Yeah.
So why don't we say with Jane, please?
Kirk House.
Yes.
Holiday Inn on November 24th. And the recent revival of Present Laughter on November 3rd.
Which is the greatest Noel Coward show ever.
Ever. So that's it. I was just very excited to see that. Last week I did not get to see, but it played falsettos. I saw the version on Broadway. I actually saw it live. But did y'all see it?
It
played last week.
Where did it play, Lisa?
I can't remember the name of the theater.
The movie.
We were in rehearsal, but a lot of the like teenagers right now are really obsessed with falsettos.
Which makes me so happy.
Me too.
We love it. I love it. Megan loves it. But
and that was a wonderful production. I mean, there was not a bad thing to say about it. And much to the testament that every single person, with the exception of the one that played the young boy, Anthony, was nominated for a Tony. Okay, that's
exciting.
So, not to bring things down, but I'm going to bring things down a little bit. The co-op family lost a very dear friend over the weekend. Stephen Rice, who hosted Outkast, he was a regular voice on KUT and a very, very big time LGBT activist, worked with organizations like the Octopus Club, AIDS Services of Austin, and Equality Texas, passed away unexpectedly this weekend. And it's a huge loss to this radio station, and it's a huge loss to me personally. He was a very dear friend. And we're all reeling here. Last night was the normal airing of Outkast, which came on at 6 o'clock. And all of us who started and have regularly worked on the show got together to reminisce about him. But I wanted to do our own tribute to him here on this show, more in the style of theater. I will say this, that those that are interested, there's a memorial that will be held tomorrow at 3 p.m. at the Episcopal Church of the Resurrection at 2200 Justin Lane. Stephen was a good man, a great man. He had a warm smile. For those of you who recognize his voice on KUT, he was, whenever he spoke, you just wanted to smile. He was warm and giving. So I'm going to play this entire song. I never usually do that, but this will be our moment of silence. I ask that you listen to it, reflect on it. This is from Hamilton on the loss of his son.
There are moments that the words don't reach. There is suffering too terrible to name. You hold your child as tight as you can and push away the unimaginable. The moments when you're in so deep, it feels easier to just swim down. The Hamiltons move uptown and learn to live with the unimaginable.
I spend hours in the garden. I walk alone to the store, and it's quiet uptown. I never liked the quiet before. I take the children to church on Sunday, a sign of the cross at the door, and I pray. That never used to happen before.
If you see him in the street, walking by himself, talking to himself, have pity.
Philip, you would like it uptown. It's quiet uptown.
He is working through the unimaginable.
His hair has gone gray. He passes every day. They say he walks the length of the city.
You knock me out, I fall apart.
Can you imagine?
Look at where we are. Look at where we started. I know I don't deserve you, Eliza, but hear me out. That would be enough if I could spare his life, if I could trade his life for mine. He'd be standing here right now, and you would smile, and that would be enough. Tend to know the challenges we're facing. I know there's no replacing what we've lost, and you need time. But I'm not afraid. I know who I married. Just let me stay here by your side. That would be enough.
If you see in the street, walking by her side, talking by her side, have pity.
Eliza, do you like it uptown? It's quiet uptown.
He is trying to do the unimaginable. See them walking in the park, long after dark, taking in the sights of the city.
Look around, Eliza.
They are trying to do the unimaginable.
There are moments that the words don't reach. There's a grace too powerful to name. We push away what we can never understand. We push away the unimaginable. They are standing in the garden, Alexander by Eliza's side. She takes his hand. It's quiet uptown.
Forgiveness. Can you imagine? Forgiveness. Can you imagine? If you see him in the street, walking by your side, talking by your side, have pity. They are going through the unimaginable. Thank you.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nick Squared.
Nick Squared!
That's Nicole Shiro and Nick Mayo. We've been talking to loads of people, but now we're going to switch and we're going to talk to the folks specifically from Summerstock Austin. And I'm going to try to... So we're going to start with Megan Hudson.
Hello!
And we have Tyler Larson.
How are you?
And we have Lila Garaga.
Hello.
Gragna. Hoy Vesmer.
You got pretty close though that last time. Mm-hmm. I was a little impressed.
It's hard.
Ellen Greenchair back there. And Holden Fox back there. Who is not, I was informed, Holden Caulfield.
He's not.
It's a disappointment to us all.
But he said he would like to be.
So first of all, can one of you, I don't care whom of you, tell me what Summerstock Austin is and what it's all about, Alfie?
So Summerstock Austin is the term that we use as theater in a blender because it is a rapid process of rehearsals, tech, and putting up three full-scale musicals all in the repertory model. And you do 2 weeks of rehearsal off-site while all three shows are rehearsing at the same time, sharing cast members, which then once we segue into tech... The cast members also become the deck crew for the shows they are not performing in. So it's really all go, no quit all the time while putting up high caliber performances.
Tyler, that was good.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for coming on the show.
Tyler, that was really good.
There's really nothing left to talk about. So the Summerstock Austin does musicals. There's always two, I'll say, musicals from the great American canon of musicals, mm-hmm. and usually one youth musical written by a local guy.
Alan Robinson.
Yeah, that's what
he's
I was going to say. No, he's not the best. He owes us a song.
That is right.
Until he gives us a song, until he gives us a theme song, we hold back the accolades. So let's talk about them one at a time. First of all, let's see what everybody's role is in all of this. So you hold multiple roles, I guess. So Lila, what are your roles in these shows?
I play Q in A Shoe Story, which is Alan Robertson's original musical this year. She's a supporting character. She's quirky, and she actually has magical tap shoes.
Who doesn't, really?
I kind of like Q.
And what's your crew assignment?
My crew assignment is spotlight operator for Annie Get Your Gun, and I am substitute deck crew for Spamalot.
Awesome. Have you started rehearsing the spotlight yet?
Actually haven't. Annie, okay. Get Your Gun hasn't.
So you haven't learned the trick about finding the light leaks on the ceiling for your pickups? Do you know about that, Tyler?
I do know about that.
Yeah, that's a great
one. That's your golden savior.
Yep. So you'll learn about that later. Write in on Facebook and we'll explain what that's all about. How's that? Megan, what do you play?
I play Sydney Schumacher, the kind of the lead of A Shoe Story. She is... It's
the
loose.
Kind of a lead?
A lead. She's
You're the lead. Let's just call it.
Okay, she's okay. Modest.
The lead of A Shoe Story. It's loosely based on the story The Elves and the Shoemaker, about the old shoemaker who has one pair of shoes that nobody will buy, and then elves magically come in the middle of the night and make him shoes. And long story short, I am now the first girl to own the shop. And the
Good
elves
for you.
Show up at my shop because lots of things are going on in the town over.
And Megan, what's your crew assignment?
I am a dresser for Spamalot.
Spamalot!
We got to watch Costume Parade this morning.
Oh, fun. That's kind of, you get a little freaked out. There's a lot of costumes.
There are. I've helped make a few of them.
Explain to people what a dresser does.
In this instance, if I was helping someone with a quick change, I would be in the closest spot with their costume, help them get out of the current costume as fast as possible and get that one on as fast as possible. I would need to know which costume's coming on next. I would know their track and help them with all their costumes.
It's really wonderful to see. And I forgot which mm-hmm. show it was, but there was something on Playbill.com or one of the Broadway sites that showed fast changes being done backstage for...
I think it was On Your Feet.
I don't know. I don't remember what
yeah,
it was for.
Yeah, I think it was On Your Feet. There was one recently. Yes.
But it's choreography, and mm-hmm. it's really great. So during the break, we asked Joy Lynn... to give me a number between 1 and 51, 2 and 51, What did you say? Shout it out.
39.
39. She said 39. Let's see what that is. And I've got to make sure I have the... Oh, okay. Here we go.
All right. I'm Christian Ortega.
I'm Graham Dalling. And we're with the National Theatre of Scotland. And you're listening to Offstage and On the Air...
on KOOP HD1. Hornsby, Austin.
That's also HD3.
I love them. They make me so happy.
That show was great.
And they were so talented.
And let me tell
talented.
You, that show, Let the Right One In, woo! They yeah, still let kinda, it in. I crazy. Still think
did
about it.
Did anybody here see that show?
Denial.
Oh.
If you ever get a chance to see the National Theatre
National
Scotland,
Theatre for Scotland period. Comes here every year. So make wow. sure you go yeah. to see them.
It's a great gift. To
yeah.
And Let the Right One In was... everything. Ooh.
Okay, yeah. So Tyler, we spoke to you last year.
We did.
We actually did a feature sort of on your department last year when I came to yes. watch...
Carnival.
Carnival. Which, by the way, I must say, just apropos of nothing we're talking about here, and kudos to Ginger Morris. And were you involved last year at all, Nick?
I was not.
But... that production of Carnival was really, really, really good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go and say
you
that.
You spoke about that for a I long did. Time.
No, I did. directed by Scott Thompson.
Yes. Yes. Who was also the director of Anna Get Your Gun this year.
There you go. So now are you working on all three shows or just one? Maybe two.
I am dedicated to a single show. Mm-hmm. I am the production stage manager for Anna Get Your Gun.
Okay.
But then I am also staff this year and... am the stage management advisor for every stage management team for all three shows.
Awesome. Well, and as I said to you before we went on the air, and as I said to you last year when I sat and watched you call a show, you did a great job, because you know that's my background as well. So we have said this because it's my background. I've like drilled into what a stage manager does. But for folks who don't remember, what is a stage manager? And tell people the difference between a production stage manager and a stage manager.
So production
stage... Good question, Lisa.
Thank you.
So a production stage manager will look at every aspect and every discipline and be the liaison between every department and really be the connector of dots in that realm for the production, where a stage manager will solely be dedicated to a single aspect of whether it's calling a show, running a deck, and that is that.
There you go. Well, thank you for being on the show. Now you guys are in college?
Hi, I'm in high school. I'm a freshman. I'm a rising sophomore.
You're a rising sophomore.
I love it.
At what school?
At the McKellum Fine Arts Academy.
I've heard of that.
It's great.
Excellent. And were you involved in the musical last year?
I was. We do two musicals and two plays every year.
Uh-huh.
And plus more, but full scale. And I was in both. I was in Cyrano, the musical, and I was also in Me and My Girl.
Awesome. And Megan?
I'm a rising senior at the Austin School for the Performing and Visual Arts.
Where is the Austin School for Performing and Visual Arts?
We are moving locations to Alyssa's Dance Studio over by the Barton Creek Mall.
Awesome. That is exciting. Have you been there for all 3 years?
No. I actually went to McCallum for my freshman and sophomore year, and I moved to ASPVA this past year.
Okay. And Tyler, you're in college or you're out of college or something.
I have just completed my first year of my master's out in San Diego.
Master's good in San for Diego. You.
And where did you get your undergrad?
I got my undergrad at Texas State.
Texas State, which is a really great school. All right. Well, so we've been talking a lot about, tell people about the shows themselves. Like what's, can someone give a rundown of Spamalot? Each of you take a show. And you feel which one you're most comfortable with. Somebody go.
All right, great. So, Anna, get your gun.
I wish you had the camera going as they're all pointing and deciding. So I was like, okay,
and
yeah.
And Tyler, as a quintessential stage manager, steps in and says, okay, I'll start.
So, Anna, get your gun is a historical story about Annie Oakley, the sharpshooter, as she joins Buffalo Bill's Wild West show. We are currently staging it as originally written, 1905. The concept we as a team are going for is not to try and adjust in any way morph the language that was used in the show originally. We want to have people learn from the historical language and historical times and see how we have grown as a society versus trying to adjust it and accommodate for modern times.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, there may be some language in there that modern audiences could possibly find offensive or hard to listen to?
I don't know if that's necessarily what he's saying. I think you're saying that we're letting the source material speak for itself.
Okay,
instead of a lot of times, you'll see people futzing with the source material. So we're in Shakespeare, you know, you talk about first folio and second folios and going back to the source, that they're letting the source material really influence them. And, you know, there are great songs that people, audiences would come expecting from the Irving Berlin canon. Like,
no
anything you
like
can
show
do,
business.
I can do better. Yes. There's no business like show business. I got lost in his arms. Mm-hmm. My defenses are down. If you're a classic...
Lust for life.
We cut that.
Oh, okay. So much for the source material.
But it's a great, beautiful Irving Berlin score.
It really is. Okay, so let's talk about Spamalot.
Spamalot is really based on Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yes, it
as
is.
Spamalot lovingly ripped off Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And it's just a really great show if you want to laugh. We saw the company viewing, the company preview, where we get to go and watch what they have so far, you know, if they haven't.
Right.
And I was laughing the entire time. Mm-hmm. The show is so funny, and all the kids that are in it are so funny, and it's a really great musical about King Arthur, King of the Britons, going off to find the Holy Grail and his Knights of the Round Table, and it's the funniest show.
And any audience member who's a Monty Python fan would really enjoy this. It's a Tony Award winning show in New York, starring David Hyde Pierce,
Sada
Ramirez,
Tim Curry.
So it's a wonderful show. I need to hear about a shoe story, because we're running a little low on time, and I'm going to make you guys get up. So just y'all have to come up this way.
A shoe story is about a young shoemaker, as we talked about. Megan.
All right, you sort of gave us the 411 on that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so the interesting part about shoe story is that it starts and she has her one pair of shoes, and then there's elves, and the elves are actually in this border war across the border in another country, and the elves are trying to cross the border. They're really refugees, the elves, and so Sydney, who Megan plays, has to make a safe home for the elves without getting caught. So it's really modern issues are
right,
addressed.
It's very apropos to what's going on in the world right now. Well, awesome. So I know I'm putting you guys on the spot. You did not want to talk in the microphone, but I'm making you. You did not fix this.
I didn't know what you wanted. You handed me a piece of paper.
Ellen, I was trying to get him to spell your name properly, but me, you're Green Chair. So
you know,
I know that's
name.
Not right. What is it?
Greedum. Ellen Greedum.
Greedum. Yes. Okay, which is much different than Green Chair.
Yes.
So, and respond Holden Fox, you guys are doing PR?
So no. I am an assistant
company manager
for Summerstock Austin.
Okay.
And I'm an assistant stage manager on Annie Get Your Gun with Tyler.
Oh, okay, great. So Tyler, how's he doing?
You know, he's working.
So very briefly, the company manager is very related in a lot of ways to the stage management team on a little bit grander scale. Can you, as briefly as you can, because we're running out of time, what's a company manager do and how are you enjoying the process?
It's basically forward motion of company and figuring out what the needs are, how we can help them, and how to make everything work the way it should be. And I'm loving it. I am a stage manager at Texas State, and getting this opportunity to see a little bigger picture has been really great, and I've really loved it.
Awesome. Talk about being an ASM, assistant stage manager.
So, as an assistant stage manager, I generate a lot of paperwork, and I basically help Tyler over here not drown. We've kind of melded our heads together, and we work really well together, and we do great things.
And Holden, where are you studying stage management?
I study stage management at Texas State with Ellen over here.
Awesome.
I love it.
Great with Shannon, who we love.
I was like, yes.
And Shannon has been saying that she wants me to come over and talk to you guys, so at some point I will do that.
Oh, yeah, that'd be
Shannon
awesome.
Shannon
well, great.
Everything.
So,
the best.
Ellen, since you're the company manager, why don't you tell folks when the show opened, what kind of schedule it is, as best you can do it, and when you close?
So all of this information, if you guys don't catch it, is at summerstockaustin.org, which has all the information you guys could possibly need. And we run from 7:21 to 8:12, which is quite a good chunk of time. So
right. You
guys have plenty of time.
And there will be times, and I think the last day you do all three shows, don't you?
Yes.
So it's wonderful having you guys on. Best of luck. I cannot wait to see the show.
Thank you so much.
Okay, great. So let's see how we do with these names. That was Tyler Larson, Megan Hudson, Lila Garagna.
Yes.
Yay. Ellen Greedham.
Yes.
And Holden Fox of Summerstock Austin's. Their shows are Spamalot, Annie Get Your Gun, and Shoe Story. It plays from July 21st through August 12th. For more information, you may visit summerstockaustin.org. And I did not mention this is at the Long Center on the Rollins stage. I'm assuming y'all are still at the Rollins. Okay, yes. Great. So I think we'll have fun with this song.
I don't know what is being said.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nick Square.
Nick Square!
That was so I love the extra sound effect. You're now going to be part of the team.
Awesome.
What a great group of performers, young adults,
young children
working. And you've been working with them.
Yeah, I'm the associate producer of Summerstock Austin with Ginger Morris, and having a blast. And this is my first time at Summerstock Austin, and they are a joy. The educational aspect of it is unbelievable. They really are getting a
Ginger
great
Ginger is the woman.
Yep, and they're getting a wonderful exposure to many different parts of the producing side of theater, and also great designers. So they're getting pretty wonderful education.
Awesome. Well, we're running out of time. I just ran all those words together into one word.
Running out of time.
So we're going to just skip most everything. I want to remind folks that the Unified auditions are still this weekend, and you can find more information about that at the Austin Creative Alliance. I thought I printed it out, but I can't, so I can't remember the information. And it doesn't matter because there are not tickets available. But Forklips Dance Studio is
Lifts.
What'd I say?
Forklips.
You know what? I spoke to Allison Orr, and she's considering changing the name.
I was about to say, I'm all for it.
Whole different.
They're doing a thing called My Pool, My City. Wait, where
my
is
spoon.
It?
My spoon.
My pool, my park, my city. It's done in a swimming pool. It's not it's not synchronized swimming, but it's a choreographed swimming.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Our synchronized swimmers need to come back.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to go into Today in Theater History.
Today in Theater History!
Dun, 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 dun. Oh my gosh, I love this. I'm tempted to say it again, but I don't think you'd be able to repeat it.
Oh, yeah, we could.
Nick, you remember back in 1619.
I was 12.
Ben Jonson received his master's from Oxford.
Oh, ooh. And I had a wonderful party to celebrate it.
Smashing.
In 1951, Dolores Gray and Burt Lahr lead a cast of 75 in a review called Two on the Island. This was a Betty Comden and Adolph Green show, music by Julie Stein, and directed by Abe Burrows.
Oh,
that's interesting.
Zing, zing.
Zing, zing.
So this one I love. I had never heard of this. So this is in 1990, and Nick, you might know this. And Nicole, you probably know this too. And y'all all probably know this, but I didn't. It's an off-Broadway, the John Houseman Theater comes Broadway Jukebox. Have y'all heard of this?
No.
No, I haven't heard
of it. Okay, so it's a musical review. And it was in 1990, and every show is a new night because the audience picks 30 songs from a list of 90 Broadway show tunes to be performed that night.
That sounds like Marie's Crisis.
I do remember this, yes.
And that's...
It did not go.
Oh, you did not go.
I did not go, but I do remember this.
Some of the players included Robert Michael Baker, Susan Flynn, Beth Level.
Oh, now I remember.
Jerry McIntyre, Amelia Prentice, and Sal Viviano. So that just sounded like fun.
Yeah, that seems like something they'd be doing again nowadays.
In 2002, Movin' Out, Billy Joel's show, opened for its tryout at the Schubert in Chicago. It did not do very well there, but they fixed it all up and it came into New York and got raves.
It did very well there.
Zing. 2011, Ghost.
I love Ghost the Musical.
Did you love it?
Oh.
All right. Really?
Oh!
You're serious.
Okay. I did. It was so bad. It was good.
Yeah. So in 2011, it opened in London. And as Nick says, it came here in 2012 to Broadway. Today's birthday, Helen Gallagher.
Hello.
Who I worked with on a show about...
a baby.
Yeah. Show about a baby. That was it. Marco Daniel. Campbell Scott. Why is she on this?
I love Campbell Scott.
Am I thinking of the right person? The news person?
It's a dude. No.
It's a dude. Okay, I'm thinking of somebody else.
It's Colleen Dewhurst.
Don't you know he's the son? Oh, my God.
And Jason Robart. Or not Jason Robart.
No. Scott.
Sorry. Sorry. It's Colleen Dewhurst's kid.
Colleen Dewhurst and George
You guys know everything. I don't know anything.
Read her autobiography. Everyone needs to read.
Yeah, Campbell Scott. Do you ever see the movie Singles?
No.
Okay.
Well, okay.
What did he do?
It's his birthday.
Oh, happy birthday!
Happy birthday! When Colleen Dewhurst gave birth to him today.
Oh, she was busy.
And so we had a lovely party.
George 9 months previous, and George C. Scott was doing things with his cigar. Okay.
And I threw a party.
Birthdays on a more local basis. Mark Buhler and Donna Rice had their birthday. And fan of the show and friend of mine in Chicago, Julian Blumenthal, his birthday is today.
We met Julian.
You did meet Julian. And Julian. Went to go see...
A Wolverine walked into a bar.
And he was so thrilled to meet both Nicole and Nick at
the
same time.
He was lovely.
He was amazing.
Yes.
That was my stage manager debut.
Yes.
So that was my sorority name. So tomorrow's birthdays are pretty incredible. Somebody by the name of Dave Stakely.
Yes.
Somebody by the name of Cookie Ruiz.
I love Cookie.
Somebody else by the name of Nat Miller.
Yes.
All birthdays tomorrow. Also birthdays, Andy Kinsey, who runs Girl Improve It, and Eric Vercala, who's a local actor that moved and now lives in New York. So
those are a lot of good birthdays.
Those
tomorrow.
Are a
happy
lot of
birthday,
good
Cookie.
Birthdays.
I just like to say
happy
Cookie.
Birthday.
I have to say it with a faux Brazilian
cookie.
Accent.
Cookie.
All right. In honor of my pool, my park, my city. We're going to play Learning How to Swim from the Summer of My German Soldier. We'll be right back. There's a moment. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nick Squared.
Nick Squared! Womp, 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 womp.
So we get to talk to this disembodied voice we've been listening to do sound effects for us right now. So... Vortex Theater has the Summer Youth Theater. And their production of Sinclair Lewis's It Can't Happen Here, which is so apropos to what's
really
going
is,
on
yeah.
right now. I wanted to read the description before, but I'm going to let you guys do that. So we have here with us the director, Matt Patterson.
Hi, how you doing?
We have Joylyn Green, who is one of our actors.
Hello.
Who is a student actor.
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are. And then adult actor, Stephen Fay. Hi, Stephen.
Hello.
So Matt, tell us about this show.
Well, as you mentioned, it's based on Sinclair Lewis's novel, written in 1935-ish, is a story about the rise of fascism in America, as told sort of through the story of, a rising political figure who is a right-wing populist demagogue who doesn't sound like anyone we know in modern politics.
Not
at
all.
So there's no relation to anything. It's just a standalone show.
It was just really interesting when I read the description of it. I said, oh my God, this is just exactly what we're going through right now. And this was written how long ago?
Well, the stage adaptation was written last year. Berkeley, we're doing Berkeley Rep's adaptation that they wrote around the time of the campaign. Trump hadn't been elected yet, and they wrote it. And then a bunch of theaters around the country, including the Vortex, had readings of it just to... You know, as a kind of statement, an art political statement,
and catharsis, you know? I would imagine.
Yeah, indeed. And then, of course, you know, then November 9th happened, and or November 8th happened, and it's very timely, and it's Vortex's 26th. Year doing the Summer Youth show.
Which is awesome. Bonnie Cullum does just such a great time.
I don't know what the Summer Youth thing is. Would you tell me what
sure.
that is?
Sure. Yeah, the Summer Youth Theater is a yearly program, a free program for youth to come and do a play. And we work with actors range from about 13 to 17, sometimes 18. If they haven't gone to college yet, but they've graduated high school, they can participate. And we do full productions. It works and runs through the summer. And we do classics like Comedy of Errors. We recently did Tartuffe last year. Joy was in Mad Woman of Shio. So, you know, we take great plays and put them up for the summer with the youth.
Cool. So, Joylynn, you are one of the youth players. Where are you in the youth world? Are you still in school?
Yes, I go to McCallum Fine Arts Academy.
Did you know Megan?
Yes.
Okay.
And little Lila Garagna. I go to McCallum, and I've been doing Vortex for the past year, and it's a really great program. It really pushes you to be more creative, and it gives you like access to a lot of shows that you might not be able to do so young.
Yeah. Did you say what year you were in?
Oh yeah, I am a rising junior.
You're a rising junior.
I love it. We learned the whole rising.
We learned that just a couple years ago.
Yeah,
that wasn't a
happy
thing when Lisa, I was in school.
No, it wasn't either. But yeah. We think we're cool now. We're like, what are you rising?
Yeah. I'm rising vegetarian.
I'm a rising senior citizen.
I'm a rising waistline. I'm a rising receding hairline.
And of course, we have the famous "I'm a rising in the sun."
No, I like that.
Next year,
that caught me in the giggle.
Next year, Joy's doing it next year.
Feel free to use it.
I really liked that.
Steve Faye, you're one of the adult actors. So yes. There's a combination of like half and half, right?
This year, half and half. We have we're fortunate to have some adult actors sort of paired up with the youth actors to give a kind of really well-rounded, balanced show.
So Steve, how has it been? Have you done this project at the Vortex before with the youth?
This is the fifth summer year show that I've done.
Okay, so how is it for you? How do you enjoy working for the youth? And I'm assuming there's mentorship that's happening, and I'm assuming you also learn a great deal during the process.
If you want the youth to perform well, you got to teach them by example. So yeah, there's a lot of mentorship. There's also mentorship the other way to keep us youthful.
Of course. That's what I need.
Oh, my hairline just didn't recede a little bit from there.
And so tell us both about the roles you're playing.
I am a small town newspaper editor in Vermont.
Dormus Jessup is his name.
Joy's character and mine are about the only liberals in this town. So both of us are appalled by the rise of the politician whose name is Buzz Windrip. And Joy's character spotted the problem before I did, and in the scene we're going to do, I'm still not quite grasping how much of a problem he's going to be.
Great. Well, actually, we're kind of running out of time, so I want to go ahead and do that scene now.
Great.
And we'll have time to talk more about the show on backstage to make sure that we get a little bit more of the details. But let's go ahead and do that scene. So this is Joylynn and Steve doing a scene from Vortex of Summer Youth Theaters, It Can't Happen Here.
Oh, it's evil out there.
Are we talking about Windrip or the weather?
Yeah, there's an unconfirmed report of over 100 congressmen being charged with inciting the riot.
That's rich. Accusing others of being thugs. Yesterday, I saw a gang of Minutemen beating up a protester in front of City Hall. He was just a kid with a sign.
And I hear Trowbridge may have fled to Canada. If I try to get a source to confirm any of it, I have the feeling they'll arrest me, too. If I didn't hate Canadian ale so much, I'd have half a mind to grab the family and sneak off myself. But I'd take you too, of course.
Oh, would you now?
I'd have to. I couldn't go on without you.
We'll all go on one way or another. But someone has to stay and fight.
I'm too old to go to jail, Wendy.
And how's that family of yours holding up?
Phillips virtually disappeared. His practice is booming, but he's become impossible to reach.
The price of success?
I suppose. It's also strange. Mary and Fowler are consumed by the day-to-day. Sissy is spinning out of control. And Emma listens to the radio, says, "How dreadful," and then goes off to worry about how the saucepan got burnt.
Home sweet home.
I spend my time calculating how many days I've got left in my life. What are we doing, Orphan? None of this makes sense. Why don't we just get up and get out of here?
And where exactly would we go?
I don't know. Anywhere. Tahiti?
What are you pretending at, Dormus? If you're looking
for... I'm not looking for anything except you.
That is the biggest lie you've ever told
me. I'm not lying to you.
Then you're lying to yourself.
Do you ever stop to think how curious it is that neither of us feels any guilt or embarrassment, and yet we're reasonably responsible people?
There is nothing reasonable about us.
Wow. Yay. That is awesome.
I feel like I've had that conversation.
I feel like I have too. So we're going to talk more about this backstage so folks can see that. So, but in the meantime, for those that are just listening on the FM, when do you guys open?
We open this Friday, July 21st. We run Friday, Saturday, Sunday this weekend, and then next weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So six performances.
At the Vortex.
At the Vortex, 2307 Manor Road in the 78722.
Where can folks go to get more information?
Vortexrep.org.
Awesome. So thanks a lot. We'll see you backstage.
Great. See you there.
Great. Matt Patterson, Steve Fay, and Joylynn Green of Vortex Rep. It can't happen here. July 21st through 29th. For more information, vortexrep.org. We will be right back.
When trumpets were mellow.
Okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with us.
With us.
Anyway, we got to just run right off. So make sure you get our podcast and come so that you can hear the rest of the story about this can't happen here. And you can do that by how?
Going to offstageandonair.com. And what do you do once you're there?
Click in the box on the right-hand side.
And we arrive. Okay. In your mailbox.
So in the meantime, we got to run away. We'll see you backstage. Austin Modern News is next on terrestrial radio. Until next week, when we look at what's happening offstage and on the
air.
And it's hard.
It's hard.
It's hard.
It's hard.
It's really,
it's really hard. So very, very hard.
I make it look easy, but honey, believe me, it's hard.
It's hard. It's hard.
Well,
it's
the curtain so has come down on It's All Quiet in the Studio. It was a straight play. It's about a studio that doesn't make any noise. It's where the audience sits and watches a troupe of actors that say nothing for 2 hours. But they...
I found it riveting.
You know, you said quiet, and all I have in my head now is Once Upon a Mattress. Remember the song? Quiet.
Oh,
quiet.
Yeah.
The
I love Once Upon a Mattress. So we are here with the folks from the Vortex and Sinclair Lewis's It Can't Happen Here, and I don't have my cheat sheet here to give names. Thank you.
But once again,
we have Matt Patterson.
Hello.
Steve Fay.
Yep.
And Joylynn Green.
Hello.
Hello. So I just want to continue because I don't think we sort of gave you the short shrift on time in there. I wanted to give you a couple more minutes. So let's talk about the show for a little while before we dive in to you guys. And this was written originally around World War II, right?
Just before World War II, yeah. I believe Sinclair Lewis wrote the novel in 1935. And then it was published and released in 1936. So just before World War II happened, but things were brewing in Europe, obviously.
Yes,
he was seeing it happen, and right. and kind of extrapolated it to see what would it be like if something like that were happening in the United States.
Well, he was extrapolating based on Huey Long's rise in Louisiana,
right? Mm-hmm.
But then between the time he finished the novel and before it actually got published, Huey Long was assassinated.
Right. So did you guys have discussions around this script and then what's going on here in your Joylynn, talk about that and how
was
that?
Just say being young and coming into that.
Right.
It's just like crazy to see this happen like for real on like TV and your life and how it affects kind of like daily conversations and then being able to kind of express your outrage or confusion or just kind of overall feelings of the political climate, and this piece of art is really great. During the rehearsal process, at the very beginning we did a read-through and we kind of went through the script line by line and just kind of seeing like just exploring how this reflects today's society, because it is so like eerily similar to what's going on. And so we just wanted to have like a broad discussion with everyone in the cast. And
broad discussion meaning, you know, huge vent session about Donald Trump.
It was mainly a vent session, getting all of our hurt feelings out
there. But I don't know the piece. I haven't read the original, but one would assume that you're there are people, characters in this that hold the other side. Mm-hmm. So in your discussions, I would assume it would have to be more than a vent session, because some people have got to really process their characters.
Indeed.
That
both sides of the coin.
I understand we have the two liberals here, but I'm assuming there's some conservative. Well, if you're the only two, then
yeah, there are some other more conservative characters. They're more tertiary characters, but they do reflect kind of this burgeoning populist movement in the play. That's a lot like the Trump movement, you know, and his voters and his supporters, big business and you know the banks. So you know it's. It's eerily similar for sure.
So there is the populist message that was going on then. And again, I was seeing, I don't have to do a disclaimer because this is the podcast.
It's the podcast.
There was a very interesting article in the Times several weeks ago talking about a woman whose mother was a Nazi. And she questioned her about why did you follow Hitler? Mm-hmm. And, you know, didn't you hear what he was saying? And her answer was, yeah, but, you know, he says crazy things. All those things we're hearing about Trump. And I saw how easy fascism can take hold to a large group of people. I'm not one to equate Trump and Hitler, but I can see how fascism can easily creep its way into a society.
Sure, sure, absolutely. And you know, fascism has, you know, different facets to it. It's not all about...
They both start
with
F.
They do, and they both have F-A-C, right?
That's true.
But, you know, it's an insidious kind of movement that if you're not careful before you know it, it could really kind of eradicate and really cause some damage. You know, I mean, the history shows us that at least, you know, so far it seems to erode personal liberties and things like that, freedom of the press, kind of all many of the things we're seeing right now.
So I assume with this play, with this production, we're laughing and we're crying.
Sure, sure. I mean, it does, you know, it does have a. Kind of before and after, mm-hmm. but the play kind of moves through before Windrup, while Windrup is a candidate, and then you know what happens after that. So things get
performed in two acts.
Two acts.
Okay, great.
This play really makes you want to call your representative afterwards.
Good.
You know,
tell
what?
Them to
I
do
like
it.
Hearing that from someone. Were you into politics in any way, shape, or form before this, or did this actually kind of make you go, whoa?
Yeah. Because I am really young. I am 16. Before this, I guess during this election, it kind of like opened my eyes and like, yeah, this is completely wrong. And especially when you're coming out of kind of a euphoria period with the Obama administration. And like, that was really important for me when I was really little, when he first got into office. And so kind of seeing the complete juxtaposition between kind of ideologies coming through.
Right.
Yeah.
As a person of color.
Yeah,
it really has to affect you in really profound ways.
It was really disheartening to see that and to see it kind of plastered everywhere. But it did kind of make me like feel like you have to really take ownership for this. You have to get your views out there.
Cool. Well, let me do this. Mm-hmm. Let's get the facts of the show one more time, mm-hmm. and then we'll switch gears and talk to you guys about you guys.
Great.
So tell us where it is, when it is, how we can find. And the general rules don't apply, so if you want to mention prices
or
any giveaways, you can do that.
Tell people to do it.
Yeah. Well, I urge mm-hmm. our listeners to come and see this.
No, you must mm-hmm. come
you
see
must.
This.
I really think you must come and see this. It's an important piece of work. It's too important now to not see something like this and really take it in. But real quick, the artistic director Bonnie Cullum, you know, we were looking for the show to do, and we had already done the reading, and I said, well, I think we should do it. Can't happen here. She said, yeah, this is the time to do this piece. Yeah. And so you must come and see it.
You must come and see it.
No matter what your views are. It is at the Vortex at 2307 Manor Road. It runs July 21st through July 29th. Prices are sliding scale. We have lower prices and higher prices. Many of the youth actors are selling tickets to their friends and family.
Right.
But they're, you know, we absolutely have are open to the general public. They can find more about pricing and everything at vortexrep.org.
Bonnie has always been very clear about trying to make theater accessible to everybody.
Yeah, so. And she wants to make theater that changes the world as well.
She's artivism lady.
Yeah.
We talk about
she's
the
AL.
Artivism.
We call that
artivism. That's a great term.
Yeah.
So, Joylynn, I want to start with you because we were talking about the show, and I just want to sort of key into what Nicole asked you about being activist, and you know, right now in our state government, they just started a special session yesterday, and it's evil and
oy vey.
Regressive and discriminatory. So. Mm-hmm. Do you see yourself becoming more politically active as either as a result of doing this play or just seeing the crap that's going on in the world right now?
Yeah. Doing this show was kind of like a form of being politically more active in a way. So it was just kind of like this is an opportunity to kind of bring this to light and help like get this to my friends and like younger audiences and kind of like help bring this word out.
So you go to McCollum. Mm-hmm. You're in the theater program there?
Yeah.
Do you do musicals as well?
I do. I'm a theater major there. We do two main stage musicals and two main stage plays, and then we do.
And you participate in all those as well?
Yes.
So do you sing and dance?
I do sing. I'm not as good of a dancer.
But that will change, right?
We'll see.
Do you think you want to stick with theater as a goal outside of after you leave high school?
Definitely, yeah. I think I might stray a little bit more away from musical theater and do focus more on my acting, just because that's where I feel most comfortable and that's where I feel more confident, I guess.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Well, some would argue that that the less confident you are in certain aspects are the ones that you should exercise a little bit more. Yeah. I will just throw that out as a little exercise. But
when you have Lisa Sheps as a friend, there's always a little devil and there's always a little
no,
angel
they're both
and they're
devils.
Always
they're both
telling
devils.
You what to do. And that's why I love her and I'm proud to say she's my friend.
Yeah, we need more people like that.
So what was it that got you interested in acting?
That's a really hard question. Because I used to do church musicals and church plays. And so performing was always like a kind of a big thing when I was little. I always wanted to do something artistic. And so I was like, I want to be an animator. I wanted to be a director. I wanted to do all this kind of stuff. And then acting was just kind of the thing that I really settled on. It was like, this is what I felt the most at home with.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And Steve, what about you? When did you hit the acting bug and where did you grow up? Answer those in any order you want.
I grew up in Michigan.
What part?
Where?
Midland.
Where is that? Where he's showing his hands.
It doesn't show up on radio.
It's south and west of Detroit.
North and west.
North and west.
Close enough.
You got the west.
My family's from Muskegon.
Muskegon?
Mm-hmm.
My mother went to nursing school in Muskegon.
Oh, cool. See, maybe our parents knew each other.
You know what? It's a small world. I sit with your family at football. Come
that's
on.
True. That's not my Muskegon family. That's my Houston family.
No, but still,
family.
Like, we didn't figure that one out in 10 years.
So you grew up in Michigan.
My father's
South and west
company,
of Detroit.
My father's company moved him to Texas in 75. Uh-huh. And I just never managed to wander out of the state. Started acting, I think it was around 87. And still here.
Oh, awesome. Did you go to UT?
Yes.
Did you study theater or did you study something else?
Bachelor's in journalism, master's in film production.
Oh, cool. Wow.
So did you work in the film industry?
No, never did, because by the time I had finished the film degree, I had done some acting on the started doing acting on the side just to get a better sense of how to get a performance out of somebody, and I found that I liked people in the theater community better than anyone that I ever met in the film
community. Oh, we are better. Community.
That is so cool. But what a cool way to follow it. That's a cool story. I like that. Sorry, that was special to me.
And did you ever exercise any of your journalistic abilities professionally?
I was a copy editor for 2 years and then fled back to grad school.
I don't like being a copy editor. As we all did. And did you do your grad work here as well?
Yes.
Okay. So you're an Austinite through and through, pretty much, once you got here.
Right.
Yeah, you're like those
like about 85% of the town.
Yeah. You like those bumper stickers, except they do it for Texas. I'm not native born, but I got here as fast as I could.
Yeah.
Which one could argue about that, but I'm not going there.
You know what? Pretty much no one that fought in the Alamo was from Texas, so people are going to get mad at me right now, but...
Talking to the microphone when you speak.
I am. Well, this little thingy...
The little thingy is
falling
thingy.
And it's pulling me away.
So, well, that's fascinating. So you do... a lot of shows. We were talking before we went onto the air back here backstage that I see you as a patron of the arts a lot. I see you in the houses, and that's one of the wonderful things. I love it when I see people that I recognize in the audience of shows.
A major sideline is that I work on the Biden Pay Nominations Committee, and that's why I'm
out
there seeing these shows.
Well, that's good, but you would go anyway. Just say yes.
It was. See, I better straighten my sock drawer.
Well, good. At least, you know, we were so poor we couldn't afford sock drawers. We had the socks, but no drawer.
Oh, yeah.
Bump, bump. Thank you. So once you got here to Texas, have you ever lived outside of Texas?
No, I have not.
No. Awesome. Awesome, I guess. Any desire? Want to go up to New York, LA, London?
My life is here at the moment.
Cool. Julian, where do you want to live, do you think? Do you have any aspirations about where you'd want to live in the world?
I'm still trying to figure that out because I'm looking at colleges and stuff like that right now. So I'm pretty open to anywhere.
What's on your short list for colleges? Okay. You don't have to tell us.
I'm still browsing.
Okay. I recommend Lisa's School of the Arts.
What's Lisa's School of the Arts? Oh, how does one apply?
Oh, one just has to write an essay and write a big check. And one is weighted.
I could do one of those.
One is weighted more than the other, I'll just say that.
It better be a really good essay.
What kind of crazy services do you offer at the School of Lisa Sheps?
A well-rounded education, I tell you.
Big round numbers on those checks.
Yes. Yep. Yep. You will learn how to feed my dog and water my yard.
Life skills, yeah, it's a practical
exactly.
Life
it's true. So, Matt, what's your story? You haven't been on the show before, have you?
You know, I actually have, Lisa. I was on the show last April-ish, I believe.
But did you get to do backstage?
No, I didn't get to do backstage. You were running the show alone. Yeah. I think you were out.
I was about to say, I remember you were here.
Right. I was. I directed a show last year, Persephone, a musical at the Vortex.
I remember when Professor. That show was scheduled to be on the show.
Yeah. We didn't get to do backstage. I don't remember why. It probably wasn't.
So do you also perform?
I do. Not so much lately, but I do perform. I've been in a lot of plays in Austin. I went to college at UT and met Bonnie at the Vortex.
Were you in the School of Theater and Dance at UT?
School of Theater and Dance. I have a BA. From the University of Texas, and I met Bonnie. I was in a production of Waiting for Godot, and we did a special.
We call it Waiting for Gado.
Gado. Waiting for Gal Gado.
Hold on that.
Yeah,
we were.
Forever Waiting for Gal.
And met Bonnie, and I really liked what they were doing and started working with them. That was back in '89. And I've been a company member since 1990.
I wasn't even born then. Awesome.
And I've done a lot of shows with them, some shows with some other companies. I've both acted in and directed other shows at Summer Youth. This is my eighth Summer Youth
project.
So
that's awesome.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Austin. Austin, Texas.
Okay.
I got here when I was about two. So I'm counting myself as a native.
Yeah, you can. I think of all of us, you may be the most native.
I may have your own feet.
Yep.
Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner here today.
I get a free scholarship to Lisa Shep School of the Arts.
You do.
What's your dog's name? I'm ready to go.
Well, you actually,
Sophie.
You no longer have to write the essay.
Oh, fantastic. I still have to write the check.
That would be important.
Yeah, but you still have to write the check.
Yeah.
And when did you go to, were you doing theater in high school?
I was doing theater in high school, yeah.
Okay.
I went to high school in San Antonio. I was in the band, but the band director was a really mean man.
A mean band director.
I know. And I found the theater department and one of my early mentors I got the bug right away. And
what
it
is the name of that
life.
Mentor?
John O'Neill.
John O'Neill.
Theodore Roosevelt High School.
Are you still in touch?
I am not, yeah. Lisa. And he could have passed. I just don't know.
You never know.
It's possible.
You got to find out.
But
I have this thing on my phone. It's called the Google.
Yeah, oh, I could Google him.
Yeah, so, I've
got
that.
Look him up on the interwebs.
It came with the phone.
Nice.
So, if you want to borrow it, you can.
Yeah, cool.
Well, that's cool. So, what do you do musicals as well?
You know, I have done musicals. I don't really consider myself a musical theater actor, but I've performed in a few. Mostly those crazy ethos shows.
Those ethos shows.
Yeah. Although I was in the Vortex production of Rocky Horror. What's that?
I thought you were going to say you missed one of the Elements.
Oh, no. I wasn't in any of the Element shows.
No, those were all women, weren't they?
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
Well, no, because Gabriel was in one of them.
Yeah, Gabriel and Andy Agnew.
There was lots of people in it.
Indeed. Indeed.
So, Steve, have you done musicals?
I have not.
Do you want to?
Oh, not once they hear me sing.
We're gonna do one at Lisa's university, Lisa's art institute.
I think I'm directing it.
It's an original piece,
right?
About money.
Oh my God, you're on fire today.
So one of the questions we ask people that I like to, and we're running out of time because we're running a little long. What are your passions? And anybody who wants, or all three of you, what are your passions outside of theater?
Music.
Music.
I'm also a drummer, and I'm not really a songwriter, but I help my bands write songs.
Yeah. Cool.
And I sing a little bit too.
Do you drum with a full trap set?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just learned that word, so I wanted to use it.
Yeah, I can say music as well. I play cello for
what a gorgeous instrument.
Years.
Really?
Yeah.
That's, yeah, I do. I feel the same way about
gorgeous
it.
Instrument.
Yeah. I wanted to see if we could bring the cello into the show, but we just couldn't make it happen. Any time an actor that I'm directing plays a musical instrument,
yeah.
I want to bring it on stage.
The cello,
every
and
single
the cello
time.
Is so cool. What a
I
great
play the
sound
pipe organ.
Well, we'd have to have a big stage.
I was in the marching band playing the pipe organ.
You had several assistants.
I had a truck.
It was it was a truck, right.
Steve, what about you? What are your passions? I called you Steve. It is Steve. Is it Steve?
Why am I doing
that? Why are you double checking?
Oh, God. What's wrong with me?
Well, it's late.
What are your passions outside of theater?
Theater pretty much consumes my life at the moment. Mm-hmm. Maybe something else will turn up.
Okay. I recommend Rubber Band Balls. It's the end of the story.
What I know about Steve, and I've known Steve for a long time, and you've really been invaluable in this show. I think I called him Mr. History in there because he just came in with the name of that assassin, and he's been a great
rock on. And you,
yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
Say it again. What's his name?
Leon Czolgosz.
Czolgosz. I couldn't pronounce it.
I've never seen it in print before, so I've seen Assassin several times, and I've heard it, but I couldn't remember what it was. And in print, it scrambles your head.
Yeah.
Those Polish people.
But you know, Steve knows. Steve knows as much about things like that as anyone that I know. So you know,
a font of knowledge.
Yeah, a font of knowledge indeed.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us backstage.
Thanks for having us.
Be careful walking back up the stairs that you don't trip over the broken glass that is strewn about.
Yeah, Lisa hasn't picked that up.
Yeah.
But she's still taking it. It's because she's
applications. Yeah, yeah, all of her.
To the school.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, once we get a glass
consuming all of her time.
Before we go, On a serious note, Ground Floor Theater certainly plans to be back in business really, really soon. We are scheduling a show that opens September 21st by local playwright Max Langert. It's called Gibberish Mostly, directed by me. It talks about a young girl who's on the spectrum, and it should be really, really, really fun. So be watching our website as I get around to putting something on the website. Thank you guys for coming, and we look forward to seeing you again back here.
It's hard to sober the eyes. It's hard to sober the eyes. It's hard to sober the eyes.
Fortune and fame, everyone knows my name. I can't help it. It's still freaking hard.